Well, good morning, saints. How many were shocked just now when I said that? All right. Well, we'll go on, we'll move on in power this morning. And Pastor Jim already said, just be attentive and be sensitive to his presence in this place. I speak about God, he's here. And let's just give this time to him, this time of the word. Father, I thank you. I magnify your holy name. I give you praise, Lord, for your power and your presence, so real and so tangible in this place this morning. Thank you for your word, which brings light and understanding to our hearts. Thank you, Father, for ears to hear and hearts to understand the truth as revealed in your word, as revealed in the face of your Son, Jesus. Holy Spirit, have your way. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Quick question as we proceed this morning. And please don't be shy, don't be bashful. If you're in this room, if you're in this place, and you're born again, you're saved, you have divine life on the inside of you, I'd love for you to just indicate real quickly, just with your right hand. Don't worry about the next person next to you. You're saved. You're unashamed. You love Jesus. You're born after God in righteousness and true holiness. Praise God. You may put your hands down. This morning, I'm going to quickly, by the Spirit, go into Scripture and try and paint, if you will, a quick portrait of what that means by way of implication. This morning I will be speaking on something I title Obedience to the Gospel. Obedience to the Gospel. And in case you were here and you said, well, I'm not saved or I don't know Jesus, and so I'd love for you to just listen attentively and then follow instruction immediately after this service. 1 Peter in chapter 1. Let's send our Bibles over there if we will. Book of 1 Peter. And chapter 1. For those who raised your hands, as you flip to that portion of Scripture, I'd love for you to just cast your mind back and try and remember, if you will, that time, that season, that moment when you came in contact with the living God by way of faith in the person of Jesus, by way of expressing belief in who he is and the finished work of the cross. Because for lifting your hand at some point in time, as far as history is concerned, as far as lifetime is concerned, you reached what I call the decision. Based on surrender. 1 Peter in chapter 1. Verse 18. I don't know if I mentioned or gave that earlier. For as much then as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from the vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Who by him or through him do believe in God, who raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Amen. So if you will, let's just try and unpack real quick on that. First off, since you are not redeemed with corruptible things as what? Silver and gold. So your salvation, as far as, real quickly, salvation, your salvation was not paid for
by any substantial materiality, cash, money, silver, gold, or anything like that. Or an abundance in the area of behavior or submission to setting codes of conduct as it refers to the law. When he talks about traditions of the fathers, works of the law, that's not how you got saved. And by extension, friends, I want to say, as concerns that verse 18, that portion of scripture, being saved is not something that comes about. Salvation isn't something that comes about based on the heritage of your parents. As it concerns their relationship with God or their walk with Him, that's not what, to all intents and purposes, got you saved. By that I mean that you, as an individual, at some point in time, still had to express faith in the person of Jesus. So, loosely speaking, that you were born into a Christian home or what is termed a Christian family does not mean that you know God, does not mean that you have a relationship with Him, does not mean that you are saved. Because for some, not necessarily in this body or in this place, in this location, but it bears saying, that commune, that, oh, this is all I knew since I was born, since I was birthed, and so I went to church, and so I sang the songs, and so I lifted up holy hands, or otherwise, so, based on culture, based on what obtained, oh, as time goes on, I'm in the flow here. This is all I've known, so I'm saved. My tradition received from the fathers, no. It says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who was foreordained before the foundations of the world. Let's jump to verse 21. Who through him believed in God? Or depending on what version you have, who by him believed in God? It is instructive and important to know that belief in God has to be through the person of Christ Jesus. And we'll see why this is important real shortly. Looking at that scripture, what must we believe? What ought we to have believed? What did we believe? Who did what? Who raised him up from what? From the dead. And did what? Gave him glory. Based on his death, his resurrection, and glorious ascension. After he had by himself purged our sins, he did what? He sat down at the right hand of God, indicating what? Not just a position and a place of power and authority, but that the work indeed was what? Finished. And that anyone, that the work was complete, and that anyone who expresses faith and belief and trust in that receives something. Friends, and that last portion says, so that your faith and hope are in God. This is how your faith and hope, as it concerns your life, anchored in God when you believed, anchored in God and is secured in Him. Him who is your peace. Still unpacking a little bit here, friends. Verse 22, 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 22, since you have purified your souls, did you see that? Since you have purified your souls, someone says, oh, I purified my soul. No. Since you have purified your souls, how? How did you purify your souls? In obeying the truth. Through the Spirit, or by the Spirit. So since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, and friends, I'm saying this morning, the truth as implicated in here, as mentioned in here, is the truth as it concerns what? The gospel. The good news. How do I know? Real quickly, Ephesians 1:13, in whom, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, comma, what's the word of truth? The gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, says you We're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So the truth, friends, concerns, relates to, and is. As it concerns salvation, getting saved, or being saved, or being born again, is the gospel. Since you have purified your souls, how? In obeying the truth. Through the Spirit, the way you got purified, friends, the way I got purified is through the Spirit, was by the Spirit. I expressed faith in Jesus and something happened as by the Holy Spirit. I was cleansed. You were cleansed. You were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified. You became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. As we mentioned earlier, not based on works, the Holy Spirit carried out that work of recreation, regeneration on the inside. You became what? A new creation. What blessedness, friends. Based on faith in Jesus. You were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth of the gospel by believing. In that moment, friends, so therefore you, in that moment, you became, were made and became a part of the body of Christ. Of Jesus. And based on that, the scripture goes on to say, love one another with a pure heart. What? Fervently. All of a sudden, based on that, you now have the capacity to love. Not the way the world loves, or what, not love based on the conception of the world, but by God. And what he shared in humanity by sending his son, Jesus. Verse 23, having, depending on what version you have, having been what? Born again. Or being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. How? By the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So simply put, the Holy Spirit utilizing the word works out that recreation, works out that renewal, works out that rebirth in you. All flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as a flower of grass. It says the grass withers and the flower thereof falls away. It says what? But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this, friends, is the word which by the gospel is preached to you. And so when we talk about the word, when we talk about God's word, we must always see and find central to it the idea, the concept of what the gospel of good news. So it's not just the word on anything. And what does the good news, what does the gospel concern? It concerns Christ Jesus. Not just any news, not just any report, not just any word, but that which concerns who? Christ. And I believe so wholeheartedly, friends, that for this day, for this age, if there's a message that can turn this world around, change things as we see it, it's the message of the cross. It concerns Jesus. It concerns Christ. That's what we mentioned earlier. It says, through him. That's how humanity, that's how mankind can come to know God. Because guess what? People have different frames of definition for who God is, who they see God. God this and God that. Everyone, it drops like ripe cherries off of a tree. Oh, God and God and God and God. And you can't really, unless you double down, unless you dig down. Okay, who or what are you talking about? Because people just, based on different nationalities, religion, whatever it is. But we're speaking about something definite here. As it concerns God, there's only one mediator between God and man. His name is Christ Jesus. And so it has to be through Christ to be able to come into living relationship with God and oneness with him. The world as we know it today needs the gospel. The world as we know it today needs the good news. And for us to be found as effective witnesses of Christ, his death, his resurrection, and glorious ascension, need to be seen to be walking in obedience to the gospel. What does that mean? What does that look like? What's the framework for that? If you're going to live in the full implications of the gospel, in obedience to the gospel, then you have got to be married to the idea, the conception, the truth, actually, of surrender. Someone says, that word, surrender. A life of surrender. So, in a nutshell, what am I trying to say, friends? So that popular portion of scripture from Romans 10, 8 through 10, what says that the word is nigh thee, near you in your heart and your mouth, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth that what? Jesus is Lord. When it says, confess with your mouth the lordship of Jesus, it actually means that Jesus is Lord. And believe in your heart that what? God raised him up from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart believes unto righteousness, the heart believes unto righteousness, resulting in righteousness, which is who you are and what you are. If you're a Christian, if you're saved, if you're a disciple of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and with the mouth confession of Jesus as Lord, results in salvation. So it concerns his lordship and surrender to that. I just said all that to say this. If we're going to be effective as witnesses, and it's great and it's awesome to go out and to share the good news and to share the gospel, to know, have the import, to have an understanding of what this is based on grace and how we've been saved, how we've become his workmanship in Christ Jesus, his children, his sons and his daughters. It's important in preaching it. We're not just saying, we're not just speaking, we're also doing what? Living it. We're also expressing it. We're also giving expression to the divine nature within on the inside. How many know salvation? We talk about it here at House on Rock Church, salvation as what? A package, right? Romans 1, 16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto what? Salvation. When we're talking about the gospel, we're talking about salvation. So I'm saying that the full import of all that he richly bestowed on us and gave to us in Christ Jesus, we are supposed to live in that reality, experience that life here now. Friends, sometimes we struggle. Oh, I know I've received. Bible says of his fullness I've received. I've received and I have the Holy Ghost. And, you know, I'm saved and this and that. But then there's that challenge. Lord, you've given me this, I have. But then how come in my life, how come in my walk, I'm not seeing some of this as a living reality? Well, I'm saying that we can walk in a greater dimension as children of God in relationship to him and with him. We can walk and the things that he's called us to walk in this lifetime. Friends, this, as it concerns eternal life, which we received in salvation and by salvation, this is not stuff for the sweet by and by. This is not stuff that occurs or happens when all of a sudden, imagine this were a bucket, poof, literally speaking, when you kick the bucket, and then all of a sudden, whoa, okay, so now fullness, today. So if we're going to walk in the implications of the gospel, know what that is, have that emblazoned on our hearts, and then live that in expression. So that salvation, soteria, I could ask for mentions right now from the Greek original that we just talked about, mentioned from that portion of scripture. Oh, safety, preservation, protection, healing, deliverance, prosperity. Did I mention preservation already? And then fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and all of that's good stuff, great stuff. I'm saying this ought to have expression in our lives, should and does, and I'm saying to even greater degrees in our walk here now. One of the reasons why sometimes there's that challenge, I don't want to use the word disconnect, but there's that challenge as to, okay, this is my new nature, this is my new identity, but then in my walk, there's this struggle. Here, friends, has to do with recognizing his lordship and how that, okay, that just a one time and done thing, and then I just forget all about it, but in my life, in my walk, I ought to be, and I'm speaking to me now, ought to be found walking in obedience based on his lordship over my life in every aspect. Not in every aspect, not cordon off some aspects and say, okay, Lord, you got this, but in this portion, I'm the chief in charge over here. You can take care of that. Oh, that's good and that's great. And, you know, but in these areas, and I'm not even going to bother start talking about what areas that may be, because to different people, those mean different things. But his lordship and how we relate and react to that in surrender or otherwise. And friends, so the question is, how do you take direction? How do you take instruction? How do you take leading? As by Christ, as by the Holy Spirit. And friends, I must say at this juncture, nothing I'm saying this morning is supposed to tilt towards or cause in your heart condemnation of any sort, because, and I'll give two quick reasons. Number one, Romans in chapter 8, verse 1. You don't need to go there. Romans in chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no what? To those who are in Christ. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free, has made you free from the law of sin and death. And someone said, oh, but there was a portion you didn't mention in there, but you may want to take a look at your Bibles and then see what it says. But I just shared with you from the overwhelming majority of versions of the word, and then you can look at footnotes and all of that stuff. But here's conviction you have to have as it concerns a child of God, a believer in the Most High. There is what now? No condemnation. Because sometimes people look at that and say, oh, okay, but if I am not found to be walking in the Spirit, or I'm walking in the flesh, and so the enemy can utilize some of that and bring what towards you, into your mind, into your thinking. It's there for a reason. There's what it stipulates, but it's about, from verse 9, those who are in the Spirit, your existence, your plane of existence, where you live, who you are, a new creation. Your residence is in the Spirit. Your plane of existence is what? Is in the Spirit. Because you're in Christ. And there, in Christ, there's no condemnation. There's no condemnation. And I said, I'm speaking about, that's the conclusion I've come to from God's word. And it's important that we receive the word that way. Not allow people, things, situations, or circumstances tell you different. For so many years, in the early 2000 through 2000, about 4 years, 2004, pastored on campus. This was back in Nigeria, and once I was done with that, I would receive calls and, you know, invitations to teach in different places all over the country. To the south, not to the north. I didn't get any invitations to the north in teaching. And so my bride and beautiful wife over there, she was here in the U.S. and for so many years would try to get me to move to the United States. And I was just like, oh, nope. Against the grain, I said, no, I'm not going to the U.S. I'm doing ministry here. I'm doing some things here. You know, this is what the Lord has called me to. I'm not going to the United States against the grain, because technically everyone would want to, ooh, U.S., let's go. Let's go. Ooh. But I was like, no. He's got me here. He's working in me. And remember, I'm saying this now to against the backdrop of the question that I asked. How's your receiver? How are you hearing? How's your compass in hearing the Lord as it concerns his lordship? And so through He's working. I'm here today in Ypsilanti, Michigan. Doing in the United States of America. Doing, being who he made me to be, doing what he's called me to do. With glee in my heart and gladness and in joy. And I find myself dead center in the middle of his will for me. I don't have time to unpack and tell you the things that happened there. But how is your surrender? How is your surrender as it concerns his lordship? Do you hear well? Lord, what are you saying? Lord, speak. What are you saying? Where should I serve? Let's bring it to the church here. Where do I serve? What job should I do? This job or that job or no job? Do I wait? How is that relational aspect with the Lord in view of his lordship as far as not only listening but hearing him well? Who should I marry? This person, that person. What job? What business should I start? Who should be my partner? Where should my kids go to school? Homeschool, private school, charter school, no school? I'm trying to bring it home, as in very simple things, day-to-day things. The other day we were presented with, some of you might have received this. Where are they? Thank you. Virtual? You want to do virtual learning? You want to do hybrid? You want to do in-person? As in choices, things. But then, Lord, what would you have me do? Where would you have me serve? How would you have me move? Holy Spirit, direct in these arenas. We arrogate to ourselves lordship. That is, we assign to ourselves lordship in these areas and much more than I can mention within the context of this message. But we're living sometimes in the fast lane. But I'm saying, friends, if we are going to enjoy the implications of the gospel, if we're going to walk in a greater dimension in our relationship with him, then we ought to be surrendered. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you hear well? The key to hearing well is not to strain our ears closer and closer and say, Lord, can I hear you? Because sometimes we can be in that spot. I can't hear, or I don't hear very well. It's not to strain the ear, as it were, but it's just to realize that I'm saying, if you walk in obedience as far as it concerns surrender, guess what? Your hearing will be so, so, so clear. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my what? Voice, it says, and I know them, and what? They follow me. I know them. The reason why he knows them is because they've made him Lord. And so there's that relationship, there's that connection, there's that life-to-life thing, oneness in there. We can see this in verse 14, John 10:14. I know them, they are known of me, they know me. I'm their Lord. And so they hear my voice and do what? They follow. So it's not just, I hear and then I can just do whatever I want to do with that, but I'm meant to follow. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Here's how we heighten sensitivity to the Lord to live victoriously, which is what this is, when we can bring the full import or implications of the gospel and obedience to Christ to bear in our lives, that is, to be made manifest. Let me put in that in those terms so that it's clear. Romans 12, if we will, let's turn our Bibles there. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12. Lord, help me. So I attempt not to unpack with this. I beseech you therefore, brethren, Romans 12, by the mercies of God, that you do what? Present your bodies what? As a living what? Sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Or another version says, which is your reasonable act of worship. Verse 2, and be not conformed to the pattern of this world, but be what? Metamorphosed. From where we get metamorphosis. Or be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. And we got it down. Oh, renewing of the mind. Oh, by the word. And so I renew my mind. And there's reason why, as it concerns the offering of yourself as a living sacrifice, there's a reason why the apostle immediately touched on the idea and concept of the mind. As it concerns your life, how you live, what you're thinking, how you're thinking, how you're ordering your steps, the decisions you're making, what you're reaching, how you're doing it, how you're not doing it, all of that stuff in correlation with the world or with understanding of your true identity in Christ, and so therefore acting, living in him and through him as he energizes you by his spirit. For your bodies, which is really your lives, I want to put it in a whole sort of perspective, okay? When it talks about present your bodies as a living sacrifice, really, the whole scope of that is your lives. For your bodies, really, your lives to be a living sacrifice and continual act of worship, you must acknowledge and hold dear the lordship of Jesus at every turn. Someone once said something interesting as I try to, I think I might have read it. The book said something very interesting about a living sacrifice is what? Has anyone? Okay. So here it is. It's something interesting about a living sacrifice. I'm going to talk in word pictures now, okay? Is that okay? Okay. Something interesting about a living sacrifice, friends, is that it is liable to do what? Run off the altar. Get off the altar. Oh, fire! But I want to add this morning, not if that living sacrifice is on fire for Jesus, is on fire for God, is on fire for the Lord. And so I want to talk about fire. As a feature, this is something I say as a feature of walking in obedience to the gospel. Two quick features. We can actually subsume them here because of time. Number one, that life, that individual, that being is on fire for the Lord. That's one. And then second, the life, that one, that individual's life, is tainted with and by transformation. That is, the person lives what? The transformed life. The benefits of all the things we speak. Well, let me put it in another way, friends. All that accompanies salvation, all that accompanies soteria becomes ever more evident in your lives, in my life, in your life, to an increasing degree or in greater dimension. You're victorious. You're triumphant. He causes you to triumph in every place. I don't care what that place is, on the job, at the school, on the work, in the field, wherever it is. You're living the victorious life. On fire for Jesus. Wow, Lord, time. Can we see something real quick in Leviticus chapter 6, verse 12? When I say fire, please, I'm not delving into a religious parlance. I just mean being in tune in the Lord and sensitive to him. His power, his person, his presence, that you're on fire. 6:12, this concerns the offering. And the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order on it. And he shall burn on it the fat of the peace offerings. Verse 13, a fire shall always be burning on the altar. It shall never go out. It shall never go out. A fire shall always be burning on the altar. God lights on fire everywhere he dwells. He lights on fire everywhere he dwells, friends. That's just the summary of it because I can't unpack. Romans 12, going back to Romans 12, friends, see something very instructive. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, that you, so me, that means me, you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. From this picture, from this shadow we just saw in the Old Testament, who made the who offered the sacrifice? The priest. So he says, you present your bodies as a what? A living sacrifice. A sacrifice on fire for God, on fire for Jesus, on fire for the Lord. And guess what? You've been made right now. 1 Peter 2:9, Revelations 1:6. Jesus, in cleansing you in his blood, in purifying you, in washing you, he has made you what? King and priests unto his God and Father. I just said all of that to say this. You're a priest. Your royal priesthood. And so you can offer your body, your lives as a living sacrifice with a continual fire on it that burns perpetually. How? How do I keep the fire burning? And let's not, you know, I was going to say, how do I keep burning for Jesus? And someone said, ooh, I don't want to burn. Burn, ooh, that is, you talk about burning. So, but being aglow for the Lord, being sensitive to him, being in tune with his spirit, when he gives instruction, my God, you lovingly just, you just do, because till tomorrow he gives you the desire and the power to do that which pleases him. Like I said, in preaching the gospel, sharing the good news, or in living out that lifestyle that is commensurate to the truth. Oh, my word. How? Three quick ways. Put it down because of time. Number one, worship. How do I keep this fire glow? How do I burn? Worship. Number two, prayer. Number three, God's word. And all these three, friends, have a way, interestingly, have a way of bringing about renewal and transformation in your mind, in your thinking, which gets you away of that subset of worldly thinking or being conformed to the world, being conformed to culture, being conformed to all that is going on. As a way of getting you to be far removed from that as you praise and worship your King. Worship! Wow. I find it interesting. Put this down. I think it was Luke 24. The first thing that happened immediately after the glorification of Jesus, his ascension into glory, the first thing the disciples did, friends, Luke 24:50-53, was to worship. And they worshiped him. And they returned to their place and continued in praise and continual worship to him. Very instructive, friends. I think that's powerful. We don't have time to take a look at it. Psalm 29:1-2. Psalm 29. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. That, my friends, is a recipe for the miraculous. Just recognizing God for who he is and just heartfelt surrender and abandon in the presence of the Lord, creator of the heavens and the earth. I see it as a recipe for the miraculous. Someone said, oh, it's reckless. Well, yeah, and heartfelt. It's open, it's free, it's unabashed. No shame in worshiping the King. Friends, I just want to give a real short picture. For me personally, I'm going to just go ahead and merge worship and prayer right now, because for me personally, that flows hand in hand, and you find yourself just on fire for Him. In the beauty of your holiness, in the splendor of your love, you're the God of power, God of power and awesome glory. Lord, I worship you. And you just magnify His holy name. You lose the sense of where you are, because, as I said, I'm going to merge this with prayer. Recognizing, acknowledging God. It's not just talking to God. Yes, prayer is talking to God. Yes, prayer is communication with God. But acknowledging His presence, who He is. Lord, His holy name. I'm talking about fire. Magnify Him. Bow my knees before the Father of spirits. I get lost in the spirit, praying in tongues. Praying in tongues. Ephesians 6:18. Colossians 4. All manner of prayer and supplications in the spirit. It's always an experience when you pray. When you commune with the Father. Why is it always an experience? Because it's an encounter with the divine. Your life doesn't remain the same. I'm trying to encourage us, friends. I'm trying to admonish us. Just your life won't remain the same. There's tremendous transformation that occurs in your heart, in your mind, in your thinking. When you engage with God in this way, in the place of relationship, in the place of intimacy. And God's word, third point, it says in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, it says what? Desire what? The sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. And someone says, well, I'm not a babe, but then at the same time, who wakes up in the morning and says, well, you know what? It's not based on feeling. God's word, you have to have a commitment. Someone say commitment. You have to have a commitment to God's word, to time in the word, time spent in the word, which is time spent in and with Christ. As an implication of the gospel, in obedience to the gospel. You don't wake up in the morning and say, what? Oh, man. Gee. Whiz. Gee whiz, you would say, right? I don't know what that, I talked to you about that. Gee. I just don't feel like having any food today. I'm not fasting or anything. I'm not getting in the prayer closet. I'm not spending time with God. I just don't feel like, you know, eating today. And then you don't eat the whole day, no water enough. And you wake up the next day and say, oh, gee. I sure don't feel like eating today. Oh, and you're glad about it. I'm not eating today. And then you don't eat the second day, the third day. And remember I said you're not fasting or under, you know, instruction by the Lord to do any of that. But nobody just gets up and, who likes to eat? I don't mean you're into food, like, but who wouldn't eat? I eat. I'm not going to go into food. But here's the thing. Job put it this way. He said, I have treasured your word more than what my daily bread or necessary food. Job 23:12. You have to esteem God's word in this way and treasure God's word in this way. Give it pride of place in your life, in your heart. And see the renewing, see the renewal, see the transformation that we saw, that we talked about from Romans 12:1-2. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. He's so great, He's so awesome. Here's one last thing I'll say just for this morning, friends. As we engage God's word, let it not be just for, oh, I just want to read, or I just want to study because it's the right thing to do, or they hear me say it, this is where we say it back home. Say, they said I should do it. But for yourself, by commitment. And here's the goal. That word, choose to give expression to the word by way of obedience. I just said that to say, if the word says walk in love, then do what? Walk in love. If the word says flee youthful lust or anything, what do? Flee it. If it says be kindly affectionate one to another in honor, preferring one another or preferring the other individual, if it says be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has what? Forgiven you, then that means what? You do it. You forgive. Walk in love. Don't, not taking offense, forbearance, not taking offense, not being easily angered. These are things, and this is fruit you get to see in your life by living a life of surrender and obedience to God and His Christ, His Son Jesus. Let's all rise. Prayer team, you're here this morning. And you have not had an encounter with the living God. You have not taken to yourself by way of faith, believing the good news, the gospel, as it concerns Jesus. You've not said yes to Him. You've not come in contact with Christ. Don't let this day go by. I'd love for you to just make your way forward at this time. I want to call of you, say of you, don't be shy, don't be bashful at this time. Just without any fear. It concerns Jesus. It's between you and Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not about man. You're here and you say, as it concerns zeal and zest and being a glow for God and being on fire, I need a stirring. I need a stirring. I need a push in this. Encouragement. Also, I'd love for you to make your way forward at this time. You don't have baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in and with tongues. Today's your day. Also, make your way forward. Thank you, Father. I give you praise. I thank you for this time. I thank you for these ones and these hearts. Thank you, Father, for the encouragement of Scriptures. Thank you, Father, for that not only thirst for you, but pursuit of you in walking in obedience and doing great things, even as by your Spirit, as led of you, as instructed of you, and bringing change in society, in this world, holding forth the word of life, shining as lights in this world and holding forth your word. I give you praise and glory. I call each and every one blessed in the name of Jesus and by the power of God. You all have a wonderful week, a totally blessed week, and I'll see you soon. Amen. Praise God.